It was an amazing week. 140 kids. I saw so many faces. To start naming names would be impossible because I really think we had so many people show up, even people that just showed up to check it out. Next thing you know, they're working parking out in front. If you show up, you gotta be careful. We will put you to work. But 140 kids, all the helpers, and there was just such a spirit of joy throughout this week, the whole week. And the way I really just see it is I truly felt God's pleasure in this whole week. I mean, that's it. More than any other year. We've had great years, but more than any other year that we've had, I really felt God's pleasure and peace, and it was smooth. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for everything that everyone has done. And there were just some very valuable moments that we had as well. When we first heard this theme, weird animals, I felt the same way you felt when you heard it. We weren't sure what it was going to be, but the points each day, they were just really sensitive, and it was just really good. Just to go through them, first day was even when you're left out, Jesus loves you. Even when you're different, Jesus loves you. Even when you don't understand, Jesus loves you. Even when you do wrong, Jesus loves you. Even when you're afraid, Jesus loves you. And the kids can relate to all of those. Each day we had somebody share. The first day we had Jack and Naomi share about India. The second day we had David Davenport come up and share about kids with autism and teaching kids with autism. And Wednesday was, every day they had a little video clip, and it was a boy fighting leukemia and chemotherapy, and he had a port. And we had Supercade and one of his chemo buddies, Aiden, come up and share. And I mean, just again, each day, just God was in it the entire week. And it was amazing. Really was an amazing week. And just thank you. Thank you for your prayers. And just God did a lot of good things. And like I said, we really, truly felt his pleasure in it.
When we were cleaning up from church, we have this thing where Cade would always tell me, "Don't worry, mommy, when you have a girl, she'll always want to ride with you." Well, it's not true. And we're packing up after cleaning up, and she goes, "Mommy, even though you're alone, God's with you." Generalizing, check. I was laughing really hard. I went, "Too smart, sister." But one of the things coming just to my mind this whole week, and especially today, with everything that's going on in our world, I just felt just an immense amount of freedom. All week, I just kind of felt like, I can't believe we can do this. Can't believe we can proclaim. I can't believe we can just love these kids. And I had just this picture of it. Jamie Johnson has talked about this some, that kids need a garden, almost like a covering to grow up under. And I feel that's what we were this week, a garden. Some kids, I know their parents and they have great families, and it was amazing for them. Some of our leaders, it was amazing, that moment. For others, this was a life-changing moment. They hadn't been to anything like this before. And what's been in my mind all week is, this is not a dress rehearsal. This is not a dress rehearsal. This is our life. This is your life. What are you going to do with it? And I felt like that with these kids. I love to look at them and then think of them as adults. It's really fun. I never look at this little feisty thing and I think, well, that can be turned into what God's going to do with that. And we make it fun. We're dressing up. We're doing all the different, we're using a multisensory approach as we teach these kids about God's truth, because we want them, and we want it to be tangible. We want them to get it. But it's not, it's real. And we're really sharing truth. And they're really having moments where they're thinking about their creator and that they were made on purpose. And one of the girls who was a junior leader, or who was a leader for us this year, most of our leaders are former students of Mike's, which is such a blast. This is the first year we've had our own kids as leaders. We started the age at 3.5 because that was the age of the kids we had. That's why we started allowing that age. And they've grown up, and this year was so fun. to look out and see their sweet faces, and they were our kids, and they're loving it. But one girl in particular, when she was 7 years old, when we used to do our main time in the donut room, David, my brother, was her leader, and she made a commitment to Jesus that day. And she shared in front of all her leaders that's when she did it. And she said, you guys, this is really important for these kids. So I just want to thank each one of you. I mean, honestly, my favorite part is when I get to look at all the leaders out there, and I get so excited because we're working for one goal in the kingdom. I really enjoyed getting to know some individuals that I haven't been able to. And I just, that is just, you felt the Holy Spirit. You felt the like-mindedness. You felt his peace, and you felt his pleasure, like Mike said. So thank you for all your prayers, your hard work, your bringing water bottles, all the donations and all of that. It was very important week for our kids. So thank you so much.
And for those that couldn't come, we have a little slideshow for you to get a little taste of it. So the nice thing about being the one making the slideshow is you get to put your kids in it a lot. Actually, I took about 9 of them out. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for just such an amazing week. God, thank you for just blessing it, Lord, for your presence being here, for your spirit. Lord, the joy that was felt. God, the excitement, the peace, the protection. Lord, we just thank you for such an incredible week. Lord, we lift up this time to you right now, God, that you would continue to teach us, Lord, about you and who you are, your love for us, and just pray that you would anoint this time in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I've been saying that all week, and everybody said, I usually don't say that up here. I want to start with a quick, because kids everywhere, all we're staying in that theme. We're staying in with children and a childlike faith. I want to start with a quick, about 1 minute video. Sadie doesn't want her little brother to grow up. Sadly, we do. We all grow up. Well, you grow up. I'm going to keep doing stuff like this. But I wanted to read from Luke 18, 15 through 17. It says, and they were bringing even their babies to him so that he would touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they began rebuking them. But Jesus called for them, saying, permit the children to come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all. So What did Jesus mean by receiving the kingdom of God like a child, like a little child? The difference of being childish from being childlike. Okay, being childish obviously is not something that God wants us to do, being childish. Being childlike is what he's talking about. And I wanted to talk about that today. I have a few points. I know I see the clock, so I'll be brief. But what can we learn from children? What can we learn from kids? I think a few basic things. Number one, children trust easily. They trust easily. Move it up. Good. Good, good, good. No, it's not. Good? Okay. They trust easily. Our kids, Cade and Lucy, you know, it's rare that Cade is worrying about having clothes to wear. He knows it's taken care of. He knows he's going to have breakfast tomorrow, and we're blessed with that. Obviously, there are a lot of people in the world that don't. But kids, they just trust. They trust their parents. It's not. It comes easily for them. Comes easily for Cade and Lucy. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." We need to trust our Heavenly Father just that same way, that simple trust that they have. I remember with Cade, and he's here again this morning, he had his first surgery, and we were home in between surgeries and discussing what we were going to do, and then we knew we were going back. We knew we were going to have, he's going to have another brain surgery, and Aaron and I were waiting for that right time to tell him, and I knew, I just believed he was going to take it very well. I knew he would. And we were waiting for that right time. And I think we were driving, and we just told him, you know, hey, we're gonna go back in. We're gonna go back into, okay, what do we call it? The hospital, superhero school. We're going back into superhero school. And you know, he took it. You know, I think he took it because he saw that we were okay. He saw that we were trusting. We were trusting in God, and that trust rose up in him. I think he trusted us. He knew, I told him right away, but guess what? We're going with you. I'm going with you in there. You know, we're going to be in the hospital with you. And he had that trust. And I think we can learn from that. You know, it isn't something that I've really had to earn. It's there. We could lose it. Kids could lose the trust, but I think it's naturally there. They trust. They're going, that's their first natural tendency is to trust. And we can learn from that, to trust more. Psalm 112, 6 through 8. Surely the righteous, I'll read from here, for he will never be shaken, the righteous will be remembered forever. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is upheld. He will not fear until he looks with satisfaction on his adversaries. His heart is upheld. My verse says, his heart is secure. Their hearts are secure. Are our hearts secure? Do we trust God that much that our hearts are secure? So that is point one. Children trust easily. They easily trust. Kids are also humble. They're humble. I'm going to read before. Same chapter of Luke. This is the story right before where they brought the babies to Jesus to bless them. Right before that is these verses right here. To some, and he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. I think it's funny that verse, the very next story is them bringing the babies to Jesus and saying, I think in essence he's saying, not like this guy who's completely self-sufficient, completely full of himself and overconfident. Not like him, like these kids. Don't do it like that. Do it like this, like the kids. Have this childlike faith. Be like them, not like the tax collector. Children are humble. They realize they need help, and they're not ashamed to ask for help. I know a lot of us, men in particular, don't like asking for directions, do we? Yeah, why? What is that? That's a pride thing, to not ask for help, to say, hey, I need some help with this. It takes to swallow some pride and to be humble. And kids have no problem with that. I'm going to go a little touch of Narnia, just a touch. From Prince Caspian, the Four Children's, the second book, have just set him on the rightful throne of Narnia, got rid of his uncle who was taking over and set him on the throne. And Aslan is talking to him, and he says, "Welcome, Prince," said Aslan. "Do you feel yourself sufficient to take up the kingship of Narnia?" I don't think I do, sir," said Caspian. "I'm only a kid." "Good," said Aslan. "If you had felt yourself sufficient, it would have been a proof that you were not." That was the right answer. No, I'm not ready. I don't think I can do it. So God asks us the same question. Do you feel yourself sufficient to, what do you do? What's your job? What is your day-to-day? And is the answer, I think, as adults, we scream, "Yes, I'm sufficient. Yes, I got that. I can do that. Piece of cake. That's right in my wheelhouse. That's what I'm good at doing." You know, and we have that self-sufficiency. We develop that as kids. And obviously, in some ways, independence, that is good. But as adults, we get so self-sufficient that we think we've got it. And God just kind of stands to the side, and then we kind of push him to the side, and we say, "Don't worry, I've got this." And he just kind of stands to the side and chuckles at the happy little idiots that we are as we stumble and fall. But kids don't do that. Kids, they're humble, and they know they need help, and they rely. They rely on us. They rely on their parents. So do we have that humble heart? James 4:10, "Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you." God can do a lot with a humble heart. That's the right answer that Caspian said to Aslan. "No, I don't think I can do this. I need help." Great. Because who's going to provide the help? Aslan is going to provide the help. He's going to have help. But if the answer is, "Yeah, I've got this," we don't leave room for God. We don't make room for him. We've got it on our own. So to step aside and let him do what he can do. Third, so we have children trust easily. Children are humble. So having a humble heart before God, relying on him, not on ourselves. Third one, children believe easily. They believe easily. Kevin shared a story when he was 5 praying to God. I was raised Roman Catholic, and I remember going to church. My parents are here. I don't know if they know this story. I remember going to church, and the homily is the part where the priest speaks for about 3 minutes. There's a lot of liturgy and things that they do each week, and there's a lot of good in that. But the homily is when the priest, he just talks for about 3 minutes. And I remember being 6, 7 years old saying, "Oh, this is my favorite part. I love this part because he's just talking." I remember being little and just listening. Okay, that is God moving. And we saw that this week. We saw that in these kids. Just that simple faith. I remember praying as a kid. I remember praying that God would make it rain so my football practice would be canceled. I pray that a lot. I remember praying that he would help me score touchdowns. And I'm going to tell you something. Prayer works. Because I scored a lot. There's that self-sufficient. No, I'm just kidding. What was that last one? Humble. Well, then I was. I'm just kidding. But kids believe easily. And one of the things you saw in the video, you saw kids coming up to this cross, if you see it. It was something that we did on Thursday where kids were asked. Thursday is always the gospel message, where Jesus dies and for our sins and resurrects from the dead, and kids have an opportunity to put their faith in him. And we kept it very simple. We gave every child a sticky note. They put their name on it, and then they simply walked up here, and you saw them, and they put the sticky note on the cross, and they said two words, "I believe." And that's it. Just simple belief that I know God honors. I think God, that's what we love about this. God is moving, and God does things in the hearts of kids. Most people meet the Lord before the age of 18, 80-85%. So God moves in their hearts, and we believe that. And speaking personally. So what happens? As we get older and things change, our life gets more complicated. We complicate things. We get smart. We rely on our own gifts and talents. And in so doing, we lose some of the trust, putting our trust in ourselves and our own gifts. We become self-sufficient. And in so doing, we lose some of that humility, like you just saw. We complicate things, and in so doing, we lose that simplicity of that true childlike faith. Basically, we grow up. And not necessarily in a good way. One of my favorite movies is Hook. Raise your hand if you've seen Hook. Robin Williams, Kay's got his hand in the air. The premise is simply this. Hook is about Peter Pan, and he's grown up. He has somehow, he went to London, and he decided to stay. And if you don't know this about Neverland, I do. When you're out of Neverland, you forget. Just like when you go to Neverland, if you know the classic Peter Pan, you forget this world. You forget London. You start forgetting who you are, and that's where you live. And you just forget all about your mom and dad, and you stay there. And it works the same way when you come this way, according to this movie. You forget Neverland. So Peter Pan has grown up. He's this business guy. He is taking over companies. And he has no recollection of anything from before he was 12 years old. He doesn't remember anything. All he knows is this life now. He's got kids. And again, they say he's become a pirate, basically, because he takes over these companies and all this. So Captain Hook, who still wants Peter Pan, goes and takes his kids, about a 10-year-old boy and a 7-year-old girl, Jack and Maggie, and takes them to Neverland. So here comes Tinkerbell. She comes and gets Peter, who's an older man, Robin Williams, and you got to come. And he thinks she's crazy. I don't believe in fairies. Doesn't know any of this. And sure enough, takes him to Neverland. And the whole first half of the movie is them trying to get him to remember. He has to remember who he is so he can save his kids and defeat Captain Hook. So the Lost Boys don't even believe because he doesn't look like Peter Pan. So this scene I'm going to show right here is where one of the Lost Boys looks and sees through. So it's really a great scene. So we grow up and we lose some of that childlike as we see there. And he does remember and he does, well, I won't wreck the ending for you. But have we grown up? Have we forgotten that simple trust? Have we become so self-sufficient? Have we lost that ability to believe simply? So what can we do to get back to that? We can do some things that children do. Okay, do some things that children do. One of my favorite things when I come home from work is turn the key, I open the door, and here comes Lucy and Cade running around the corner from the kitchen. Daddy's home, and they run. It's my favorite sound. I love it, hearing them run to me. Same thing happens when Aaron comes home, and they run to her. Do we run to God like that? We need to run to him like that. One of Lucy's favorite things to do, and Cade as well, obviously, is spend time with us, spend time with me. Lately, when Cade's been going to his therapies, I've been taking Lucy on dates, and that is her favorite thing. She loves going on dates with Daddy, and I have to purpose it. You know, I have to purpose to do it and let her know, hey, we're going to go, and we'll go get coffee. I drink the coffee. She drinks milk. She asks, when I tuck her in, "Daddy, will you snug with me?" The answer is always yes. Always yes. So just spending time with us. We need to spend time with God, to run to his arms as our Heavenly Father, to spend time with him. Jesus, Mark 1:35. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. He prayed there. He got up early every morning. So to purpose it, we need to spend time with him. To know him as our Father, to sit in his arms, we need to spend time with him and to purposely to do that. And the biggest thing that I love about kids and what we can learn from them is the wonder that they have, the wonder in their eyes that you see. They have wonder in everything. One of my favorite parts of VBS is that Sunday or that Monday morning when the kids who weren't here for setup come in and they see this. They see this transformation. Yeah, I see it in some of your faces too. That's one of my other favorite things. Seeing your eyes light up. You know, that wonder of just what this is. And for kids, it's so easy. They find wonder in everything. I think it's one of the reasons I love Christmas so much. Just the wonder of it all. And you know, I can safely say I still have that look. But I love it. I love seeing the kids come down the stairs. I videotape them coming down the stairs to see their eyes light up. So do we have that wonder? Because we have so much reason to do it. In Acts 2:42, it says, "They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles." I think we're really good at the first stuff. The apostles' teaching. We get great teaching here. There's not a shortage of great teaching with technology and things and coming to church. Fellowship, it's one of our strengths at this church. I love the relationships that we have here. I think we're really good at that at this church. Breaking of bread, I think we're great at that too. We've had some fun parties. The other night is an example of that. And to prayer, you know, we pray. And then it goes, everyone was filled with awe. So checking our own hearts, do we still have that awe, that wonder for God? Because there's so much reason to have that. And just to strip down of all of the other things that cloud our minds, and just to get to the simple faith that we've had, for God to open up our eyes to his wonder and who he is, that the kids see so quickly, so easily. And we saw it every day this week. You see it in their eyes and their simple faith. It's very easy as we get older and our faith gets complicated and we learn more and we read more, and we should. We should learn more and read the word. But it can get very, knowledge puffs up. You know, knowledge puffs up. So to stay humble and to keep it simple. I love what we did here. I think this is a great starting place. To keep that wonder, keep it simple. Two words, I believe. So let's just start there. Start with a simple faith that we see in these children. I believe, Lord, and let him take you from there. I believe, because there is so much wonder all around us that in his creation and what he does and in relationships. He's doing so many amazing things. So, and he's done so much for us. I believe that simple faith that we see in these kids, to get back to that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to us, God. Lord, we thank you that when we complicate things, Lord, when we cease to trust in you each day, Lord, and we trust more in ourselves and our own gifts that you have given us, Lord, help us to stop and sit back and look to children, Lord, to have that childlike faith. To be like a child, Lord, trusting in you, sitting in your arms, Lord, wanting just to be with you, Father. That's what we see, Lord, in children. To receive the kingdom of God like a child. To sit in your arms, to be content, to be totally satisfied with just being in your presence. Lord, trusting in you to meet all of our needs. Lord, help us to be less of ourselves and more of you. Help us to get back to that, Lord. And again, Lord, we thank you for such an amazing week. God, thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. You are such a good God. And Lord, we do pray for all the children this week. Lord, we do pray that seeds were planted. God, that it wasn't just a fun exercise coming up, putting their names on the cross, Lord, but God, you are moving in their hearts. You are speaking to each one of them. You're speaking to us now. Lord, that doing what only your Holy Spirit can do and opening up our eyes and hearts. So we thank you, Lord. Thank you for just who you are, God, for the amazing week we had. And Lord, that feeling your pleasure in it all. In Jesus' name, amen.